to Living Springtime from Amazing Love Assembly Enugu with Bishop Amechi Nwachukwu ministering.
As we have been going through the book of Jonah and looking at God's dealing, the redemptive story of Jonah, the redemptive story of the people of Nineveh, and the amazing love of God displayed in that book, the eschatological message of the book of Jonah, the reality that Jesus said, no other sign shall be given to this generation except the sign of Jonah. And as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the fish, even so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth for 3 days, and after that he will rise again. The eschatological importance of the book of Jonah cannot be overemphasized. But as we come to the close of the book, there are certain things that of a necessity calls forth for our reflection on the book of Jonah. Notice in that great book of Jonah that in Jonah chapter 1, we saw the distress of the mariners, the distress of sheep, the loss of cargo, and all the tragedy that befell those people. And all these things were as a result of one man's disobedience. If you look at Jonah chapter 1 from verse 9, we read these words. So he said to them, indeed, we can even roll back to verse 8. Jonah chapter 1 verse 8. Then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? Very significant. Why are we having this family problem? What is this thing that is causing so much distress upon the country? How come that our country is so blessed, so endowed with material resources, human resources, and yet we never seem to get it right? Who is causing this problem? How come that this family, God have blessed us, God have prospered us, and yet we don't seem to make any significant progress? On whose account is the church suffering? Why is the church lost its testimony in spite of the numerous churches all over the place? There's increase in moral decadence. What is the problem? Look at what they said. Then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? What do you do? Where do you come from? In other words, where did you originate this journey from? Where are you coming from? What's your origin? What is your country? And by the way, maybe you're coming from somewhere, but what is really your country? Where are you from? You could say, oh, I'm from Nigeria. And then if you are from Nigeria, what people are you? Are you a Nupe, Tangalawaje? Are you from a Biron person? Are you from Calabar? Are you, where are you from? What is your people? Are you an Igbo person, Yoruba, Hausa? Let's know where you're coming from. Your people. And then Jonah began to answer in verse 9. So he said to them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? In other words, look at the first question, on whose account is this trouble upon us? And he said, why have you done this? For the men knew that they fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. They had distress. They had trials, they had difficulties, they had all manner of problem in their sailing, in their voyage, and on whose account all this distress? Because one man called Jonah was living in disobedience. You know, sometimes those who should bring peace and prosperity to a family, to a church, to a country, are the very ones who cause the problem. And instead of being part of the solution, you and I, out of stubbornness, disobedience, have become part of the problem. Jonah's disobedience caused tempest, loss of cargo, destruction. Jonah was a child of God, incidentally. And sometimes you have children of God who should be the harbingers of peace, ambassadors of Christ, messengers of truth. They are the very ones, inadvertently, because of the way they live, because of the way they conduct themselves, because of the way they have compromised, and they are the ones who are causing problems. These children of God, this child of God, this person who, because he's there, there should be peace in the vehicle, there should be peace in the aircraft. This child of God living in disobedience can actually cause so much problem. Instead of bringing peace to the family, it becomes the source of all manner of irritations. I'm not talking about the problems that being a Christian naturally attract to itself. That's what the Bible calls the offense of the cross. You don't need to do anything to give some people offense. People are ready to do anything minus talking about Jesus Christ. We understand that. We don't apologize for that. Indeed, being a Christian already, by the nature of the profession we make, it stands as a judgment to the nations. But what we are talking about is when a man of God, a child of God, a woman of God, like Jonah, who entered a ship, and the people would have talked, and rightly so, bon voyage. You're going to have a good journey. But what is it they are having? Tumult, trouble, crisis. And sometimes, if we are not careful, we who are trusted to bring about peace and harmony can be the very ones bringing confusion. As a father, how do you do? Are you involved in things that, instead of enhancing the peace of your children, the peace of your family, and bringing about prosperity in your home, you are bringing a curse? You say, what do you mean? You see, when you get involved in demonic activities, you are obviously attracting demons. When you go to the bush, and you go and get firewood that has ants, lizards are bound to visit your house. You see, you can be the very ones causing problems. You are the one causing the problem. You see, the Bible explains that in righteousness we shall be established. When a father, who is supposed to be the priest in his house, has chosen to serve the devil, has chosen to serve mammon, if he to not another, when you complain, with one you have ordered, when he comes back, I hope you take it. It's so important to see what happened with Jonah. Jonah was supposed to bring peace. Jonah was supposed to be a harbinger, a messenger of the gospel. But instead, disobedience brought distress, tempest, loss of cargo, anxiety, and all manner of things. Are you a mother? What kind of a mother are you? Are you the kind of mother that attracts negative forces? Mami water powers? Obanje powers? Mommy? You are looking for this, you are looking for that. What kind of a mother are you? You know, sometimes the very people who are supposed to bring peace and harmony are the very ones who cause this quiet. It is a transversity. It's a tragedy. It's a horrible thing when those who are the ones that God is entrusting to give leadership fail to do so. I ask you, what kind of a leader are you? Are you the kind of leader that your people are just praying, oh God, when will this cup pass over? What kind of a leader are you? It doesn't matter where you're leading. It doesn't matter what sphere of influence you have. That's the way the leader will live his life. If people will be rendered hopeless, they'll be torn to living in penury, they'll be dispossessed, because instead of the very quality leadership that should have brought in peace, relief, prosperity, the people have recklessly squandered their resources. It doesn't matter what sphere of influence. Are you a leader in school? Are you a leader in the office? Are you in the bank? Are you in any sphere of government control? Where are you? What kind of influence is your leadership bringing? Jonah, look at what we are told in that Jonah passage. If you get back to that Jonah reflection we are having. In Jonah chapter 1, God told him, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up to me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, and you know the rest of the story. Instead of Jonah doing what God had asked him to do, Jonah decided to go in the opposite direction. The consequences of his disobedience, if it was only on him, at least Obgo Nai Abro Christian, he said, well, Gemeri Ebele, and I said, I serve you right, not if you may tell. We could have said, that's what you deserve. But no, if you read the story, verse 4, but the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. For who? For a disobedient servant who happened to align himself to your business, who happened to have allied himself to your church, who happened to have allied a fugitive from God's justice, who happened to have allied himself to your regime, who happened to have allied himself to something, and you do not know that this person is an attracting negative forces around you, is attracting distracting entities around you. And it's so important to notice, the captain came to him while everybody was praying. And when you look at these reflections, you can see how complacent when one is living outside the will of God, how they can be. In that verse 5, we read these words. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. To the contrary, let's see what Jonah did. But Jonah had gone into the lowest parts of the ship and lain down and was fast asleep. Now, naturally, should you be sleeping when there's crisis? Should there be no time to cry and do some kind of expression, even if you are not praying? But you know, this guy, who was the cause of the problem, this guy, who was the architect of the whole issue, this person, who would have brought peace, harmony, the one, remember, contrast him to someone like the Apostle Paul when he was traveling to Rome. We are told that there was shipwreck, there was problem, and he stood up and told the men, be of good cheer. For the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, stood by me and told me that, yeah, the ship will suffer loss. There will be loss of cargo, but there will be no loss of life. And having spoken to them, the Bible told us he broke bread, ate, and encouraged them to eat. On his account, God gave safety, life, deliverance to those who travel with him. But when a disobedient person, when somebody who's fugitive from God's justice is involved with you, you better beware. And even when you transport that, you ask yourself, can we really look upon what is happening to our country, to our individual places, and ask, is it possible that those who should be praying for the peace and the prosperity are the very ones who are causing the problem? Attracting very negative faces. You know, one may ask, are you a Christian? What kind of trials, what kind of difficulties as a Christian in your duties? When Christians fail to live as they should, sometimes they cause a lot of calamitous problem. You know, the tragedy is not we have one Christian in government, one Christian going. A Christian who goes into the position of leadership and lives like an unbeliever, he's probably going to cause more problem to his community, to that environment, to that nation, more than 20 unbelievers who we already know that they are unbelievers. We don't expect much. But when you use the name of the Lord and you stand in the place of God, and instead of being what God has called you to be, you are something else, you may be causing distress, shipwreck. You may be causing the other mariners, your fellow voyagers, to have crisis that was not supposed to be part of their own. You may be the very one, the very architect of the tumults in your family. And instead of praying out, you're sound asleep, complacent, like Jonah. Often the country, the state, they may have distress. And it's interesting to note that when David, who was supposed to be a man after God's own heart, decided that he was going to do a census, in 2 Samuel chapter 24. And we'll look into that in the next broadcast. But as you look at what happened there, you will find out that this man brought death, distress, and disaster to his nation. Because he was supposed to be a light, like Jonah. Instead of being that light positively, they turned out to be the very cause of their problem. Jonah failed God, and his failure affected others. Jonah failed God, and his failure caused the loss for other people. Jonah failed God, and innocent people, in quote, who had nothing to do with his crisis, we're all made to be partakers of his disobedience. I ask you, father, mother, young man, Christian brother, Christian sister, man of God, woman of God, remember, when you stand in the place for God, and God have asked you to do something, it's important you do it. Sometimes we may be the ones causing the problem because we are not being the kind of people that God has called us to be. We are not living the life as God has asked us to. Are you in the university? You say, well, everybody is involved in this, therefore you have to. Could it be that in our failure, we actually magnify evil and give a certification of that which God abhors? It is important for us to notice what happened to these people and what happened to them as they moved with Jonah. God interposed, all right. God saved them, all right. But the transversity and the tragedy and the whole mess was that the very one who represented God, the one who was God's emissary, the one who was Christ's ambassador, the very one on whose account heaven would have looked in and said, let me bless these people, was the very one who was bringing their trouble. Jonah was lying down deep. What do we find? So the captain came to him in verse 6 and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise! Call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. And even when Jonah had told them he was running from God, they asked him, they said to him, verse 11, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. Listen to him. Listen to Jonah. And he said to them, pick me up, throw me into the sea, then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Oh God. I know that this great tempest is because of me. And then what do? Your solution? Throw me into the sea. when we didn't show too much. But she died. That is, they are prepared to live in permanent disobedience and unrepentant heart. They will not die alone. My friend, that's not how to be a witness of Christ. And as we reflect on the book of Jonah, I pray that we shall make up our mind to be part of the solution and not be part of the problem. A disobedient father can bring more ruin to his home than 1,000 criminals out there will bring. A disobedient mother can bring more ruin to her home than 1,000 hooligans will bring. A disobedient leader, one who is not representing what he professes, it doesn't matter the sphere of influence, can bring more calamity to his people, subject, than anything, any economic downturn can bring. Any change in oil price will bring. It's important to know that when God has placed you in a place, you have control and other influences that though you may not be aware of, God expects you to allow Him to shine His light through you. And it is in that reflection that you can look upon and say, is it possible that the reason why our countries are not doing well is that Christians, who should be the people like Jonah, have abandoned themselves, gone around and they are sleeping, and instead of praying and living in obedience, are totally apathetic to what is happening? Is it possible? Is it possible that our disobedience and our lack of confidence and lack of righteous living has brought so much pain to our various countries around the world? Whatever may be the case, I'd like to tell you, Nataka Bubo, Ta Bubo, Osita Demma, they say, it's still good. We can get to God and get it right. Instead of being suicidal like Jonah, we can go back to God and say to Him, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, O God. And that is what exactly David did. And as I say, we'll reflect on the next broadcast on that 2 Samuel chapter 24. When David realized he was causing so much problem, he went back to God and said, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Heal the land. Heal your people. And God heard him. And by the way, you may be listening to this and saying, yes, told them, I even knew all these nonsense people not born with a Christian. No Christian is nonsense. A genuine Christian is a dynamite in the hands of God. And that's why things that concern them are sounding very loud. But I'm talking to you listening to me. If you are not yet a child of God, why not? Today, surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And instead of running away from God, run to God. He will forgive you your sins. He said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, Jesus has promised forgiveness of sin for all who come genuinely to Him, asking for forgiveness, repenting of sin. He will change your life. He will give you a new beginning. That's why there is Calvary, and the empty tomb is proof that Calvary is real. My friend, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you will accept the message of God through Jesus Christ, you can receive forgiveness and be born again. What must I do? Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus Christ, today I come to you and I acknowledge that I am a sinner. Forgive me, O God. I repent of my sin, my selfishness, my disobediences. I surrender my life to you, O Lord, and I invite you, Lord Jesus, into my life as my Savior and my Lord. Take control of my person. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, O God, and make me your child. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you sincerely pray this prayer, I ask you to get to the nearest Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and tell the vicar there that you pray to give your life to Jesus. They will follow you up. Don't forget, join us again next week as we continue on the reflections on the book of Jonah. God bless you.